Florida. So, yep.
Here we go.
There we go.
Hey, everybody. Woo, we're
here they come.
Excellent. Doug, I'm going to make you the host.
Sure.
Make host. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Change Doug to the host. Okay. I have my goddess deck. Happy birthday to the goddess deck. Yay. Welcome, everyone, to Shared Wisdom. Anna is over here. Hey, Anna. She's getting set up. She's in a... Leisha Nardo. Hi, Leisha. I answered your question, but love to get you guys chatting with us. I'm going to put the chat to the side. What am I doing wrong? Okay, so I have the... Oh, I know why, because I've got the wrong thing listed. Chat. Why do I have this? Attendees. How do I get rid of that? Close. Aha. Okay. There's Laz, Mary Elizabeth Babcock.
Hello.
Tarot experts. Here we go. Goddess deck today. Everybody got your goddess deck today. Yay. I'm so happy you guys love it. I know. So great. Always a struggle to get into the webinars, but you're in the webinar, honey. Not a struggle. And we start when we start. And Peterborough, Debbie. I know which Debbie you are. Debbie, are you that Debbie who I think it is, who came to Stars and Cards? Tell me, Debbie, is that you? Yes!
I love her.
Mwah! What a sweetie. She is such a sweetheart. We had the nicest time. You got your goddess deck. All right. So big hugs. Hey there, Cindy Falla. Look at that.
Hello, Marsha.
Hey, Marsha Johnson. Marsha, Marilyn Freeze. Oh, we've got our fabulous Dreamweavers in here. Marsha, I saw your pictures. You're going to our contest for your Oracle card party. So don't forget, you guys, to have an Oracle card party. And Oracle card parties are the way that you can win me flying to your house, maybe. We don't know. Well, every 2 months, I'm going to host one of your party on Zoom. And we already picked a winner for this first one, Nancy Drope, or Nancy in, so she's going to have me on Zoom. And we're going to have our big contest this summer where we're going to pick where I'm going to fly. And literally, you could be anywhere. I could fly to Iceland or Norway or Denmark or Chile. So yeah, it's going to be
maybe Portland.
Huh?
Or Portland.
Or Portland, exactly. And we are literally putting everybody's name in a basket, and I'm going to pick, and that is where I'm flying.
So New Zealand, exciting.
Jen, and no, Australia, New Zealand, China, Japan. Like we have people from 36 countries that are putting their pictures in. So plenty of time, but yeah, we're going to pick one place, and on our expense and dime, we are going to fly to you. Pembroke, Ontario. It's on your manifest list. What, for me to come? Yeah, Nancy Drope. I know. It's so great. Yay. Catherine Keating K. You got your goddess deck. Yay. Let's just wait till everybody. Yeah, this is so fun. So, yeah, and actually those parties are fun because you get a chance to practice the sharing the wisdom, right? You really get a chance to sit there with your friends and sit around, and you can do it with a goddess deck too. We have a full moon spread. Today is a full moon. So I thought it would be fun, Doug, to do a full moon spread for everybody.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Puerto Rico. Hello, Shanna. Hello. Did I say that good? I have Rosetta Stone. So let's talk about this full moon tonight. We have a full moon spread. I believe it is, I have created it in here.
It is. It's in the goddess deck. It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. So the four jewels of the goddess, we have the goddess power council spread. Where is my full moon one? Full moon illuminating spread. Okay. So, Let's do one for everybody in shared wisdom. So do you want to pick the cards, Doug, and I'll tell you what positions that they're in?
I can, for sure.
Okay. So this is, let's just tune in, everybody. We are one energy, and, ooh, I love your coffee shop. Ooh, Tarek, that's such a great idea. Coffee Shop. Hey, Christine from Australia. Hey, Donna, Leslie Norris. Okay, so what we're doing tonight, it's a super full moon in Virgo, and the sign, and we're in Pisces. So it's two opposites, right? Pisces is very watery and wishy-washy, and Virgo is very beautiful, very, very much all about the sacred. It's all about the perfectionism and things like that. So it brings everybody together. And there's Brian. Hey, Brian. So the first position that we're all asking about ourselves here is, what is the theme that needs to be illuminated for us to manifest our highest good this particular full moon? So we're going to look at the next 2 weeks between now and the new moon, which is in 2 weeks. So we really want to focus this energy in these next 2 weeks. So Doug, what would be that first card?
That first card is Athena in alignment.
In the alignment position. Okay.
In the alignment position.
So when Athena is in the alignment position, this is for everybody, right? You can't make this up. Here we go. No, you can't. I mean, I made it up, but I didn't know. Sometimes logic just isn't enough to determine the truth of your situation. Right now, things don't add up or make sense. So you may find yourself distrustful. Ingenuity and curiosity are called for as you face the unknown. Don't jump to conclusions. All the information has yet to be revealed, and it won't come by force or by overthinking or analyzing. Athena offers you the alignment task of releasing any projected story or expectations and accepting that you don't have all the facts needed to make an informed choice. Ask for clarity. Remain open and receptive, then wait for the will of the divine to respond. This is the correct and most beneficial strategy now, and the goddess Athena is ever present to help. So the idea that, and I think somebody had posed a question in the main hall about not being in their body, that they find that it's so much easier to be in their head. And I find that. Do you find that, Doug, sometimes?
I do. It took me a long time, a lot of practice and a lot of effort to kind of get into that space, because I don't typically live in my body as much as I'm in my intuition and my head sometimes, or my heart, a little differently.
Yeah. And I think Elizabeth's question, right. So it's very easy for those of us who are very intuitive and we're constantly putting that net out there to look for information, that we forget that our bodies are the instrument of information. And we don't always know. Like I still have trouble if somebody says, move your left hand. I'm like, you know, or like touch your right leg. It has been so important to go and meditation. Thank you, Tarek. Do I say that correctly? T-A-R-A-K, is it Tarek? And Debbie Challoner says too, that's so me. And I'll notice too, when I'm not in my body, I'm going to eat. I'll find myself, it says Tara K. I call you Tarek. I'm thinking, who is Tarek? It's Tara K. Thanks, Tara. So there's a sense that we can sometimes, it's not always, right? When we are seeking information, when we're looking and we're playing with the cards a lot and we're in here, we're doing this intuitive work, that we forget to actually ask our body, oh, what does this mean? How do I listen to my body? And there is no book for it that I know of, certainly, Doug. It's more experiential. So Athena in alignment reminds us that this is experiential. So right now, this is such an experiential time that we have to remember that we cannot think our way into this. Right. And that's hard to, and it's not supposed to be easy.
Well, I love this card, Colette, because in fact, it came up for me in my full moon reading today that I did on the app, on the Goddess app, because I did the same thing. And I was sitting with it a little bit in preparation for tonight, because one of the things that this talks about, that you talk about, is letting go of projected expectations or stories that we have about the situation. And that's a lot of what we're going to be doing in Shared Wisdom, right? We're not here to put our expectations or stories when we share wisdom with other people. We're here to really stay in our own in our own lane, really, and share from our lived experience, which is what we define right. wisdom as. So I love this this reminder at this time for us to just be almost, it's not quite beginner's mind, but it's a neutral space, right? It's a space of letting go of the projections, which are often based on old stories we may have about ourselves or about other people, and being open to what may be possible, what may be new and coming our way.
I love that you say that it's not quite beginner's mind. So yeah. It's that sense of neutrality that when we enter in, we come with our wisdom, because yeah. wisdom can still come with beginner mind, believe it or not.
Right.
Like learned experience is where we start. Then the beginner mind goes from learned experience. It's like, we don't forget everything that we've learned. Whatever we've integrated so thus far is information that we have, and the wisdom that we have because we have lived something. It's the wisdom mind. Thanks, Maggie. I share my lived experience. And we don't always know what our lived experience is. Because, and here's why I say that. You know how you can be at a particular point of vantage in your life, but have an epiphany. Like I had this huge epiphany recently where, you know, I'm really unearthing a lot of my really early wounds. I'm really doing a lot of work around that. And I realized I had this such an epiphany that this one piece that I had hidden from myself came up for me because I was ready to see it. And as a result, I could totally see my past in a completely different way. So my wisdom changed in that I could rewrite my story of my past. And my lived experience was also the willingness to look in the dark, right? And the experience that I had was still the experience, but I saw it from a different angle or different perspective. So this is what we learn here. You know, I love that Leslie said it's a new higher baseline. You know, but we're always at the beginning. Vantage point changes are powerful. Exactly. So, and it is a bit strange. I like that Catherine Keating Kay said, I'm seeing that now a little bit. It's strange. You're correct. So your vantage points change because your integration capacity to like no longer be in the fixed storyline, which is what Doug was talking about, projecting that, right? We don't right. project the fixed storyline. We are fluid too. Our stories in motion are also from the past. You know, go ahead, Doug.
Well, I just want to remind us of the position, because we're talking a lot about the car, but I think because we're doing a specific spread,
yeah.
and those of you, the position one, this first card, it's what is the theme that needs to be illuminated for me to manifest my highest good? So right. the theme that's needing to be illuminated is exactly what we're talking about. It's this coming to this space of possible new ways of looking at things, letting go of old stories, writing new stories about our life, really coming in and allowing, and by the way, let's remind ourselves that Athena, I think, is the goddess of knowledge and often talked about as goddess of wisdom as well,
right.
in some circles, right? So we're talking in shared wisdom about her. She's kind of, I'm sure we have lots of goddess mascots that we can say for the
Correct.
Class.
It's like, but, it's perfect.
But I think that kind of idea. So this is what we're needing to bring to life right now with this full moon. That's what's getting illuminated.
Right. Now, position two, what do I need to release in order to move forward? Now, this is for everybody in here. Remember, so tonight, everybody in shared wisdom, we're looking at right. We're saying the first thing is the theme is about the headiness. The theme is to realize that knowledge isn't wisdom. Right, that the intellect doesn't mean that that's wisdom, that the learned, the lived experience is our wisdom. And yes, and I love that you said that, Tara. You, in the observer role, I find compassion and forgiveness. That is so key. If we, that's, and that takes, that's not everybody good. Can do that. That's what we
yeah.
do. So it was the second card. What's the second card, Doug? Oh, I love this. Oh my God, you can't make this up.
The past.
So, Mnemosyne, which is the past. So she's card number 36. Now, Mnemosyne, I'm going to read this. There are certain moments within your personal history that hold great treasure for you now. This is for all of us, right? And it's interesting that Tara just said something about her memories. When you examine your memories, which are the domain of the Greek goddess Memosyne, empowered wisdom is revealed. The lessons you find are like sacred talismans contained within your past like fossils in amber. Right now, you can trust your instincts that if something brings to mind your past, it indeed has a kernel of the old and the new. This is an amazing opportunity to make informed choices and do things differently. This goddess has another powerful message for you. There are many choice points in life where you have the power to make beautiful changes and become more creative, empowered, and alive. Yes, sometimes memories that live in the cells of your body will trigger palpable fear. Think about that. It will trigger palpable fear. But you can move beyond your past to discover new territories, and a new vision of freedom will come to you. You won't see the past the same anymore as wisdom replaces numb acceptance. Geez, who wrote this? This is so good. The memories will change because you've changed. This freedom is gained by willingness and curiosity. Relationships become rich with potential, and all your natural choices will no longer fall into old patterns that are not serving you. The goddess Memosyne wants you to experience this miracle. So what we want to release, I mean, it's so profound. For, and this is why we're here, right?
Yeah, this is the course.
Why we're all here, right? I mean, it's why we're all here. And here's what's so interesting too, the choice, I love Maria. She says, that was amazeballs. So I'm going to share with you, I think it's important, and it is intense, that we're able to be human with one another. So what was so key for me around this, and I work, you know, whenever I do a course, I either go back into therapy or I do something where I'm doing either more coaching with somebody else or whatever, just so that I can unearth whatever's the next layer. One of the things that I notice with a lot of healers, and I have, hey, Anna, is the concept that we're not allowed to set boundaries with other people lest we pay a price for that, right? I love Anna put her little, we have to wait till everybody says hello to Anna. Let's all wait for the fans to say hi to Anna. But anyway, hi, Anna. Okay, that's enough of hi, Anna. Okay, Anna. Okay. Look at everybody saying hi to Anna. Okay, that's enough. No more Anna talking. Okay. So, yeah, hi, Colette and Doug. No, it's good. Yeah, she's popular. That's right. She is. And we love her for that. So, when we look at this particular moon, because it's in Virgo, there's a call to the sacred. So what is it about this sacred quality? And then Chiron having made a new transit today, right? So Chiron, the wounded healer, going into Aries, which is a real action-oriented sign, right? So it's about that movement forward. Like, what are you going to do to move past these memories? Where you are trapped like a dragonfly in amber. We can be trapped there too. And the way we actually learn new ways to see ourselves is by shattering that amber. And which is what I went and did too. It's like, it's 1% from the sun and moon, exactly. Yeah, it's a beautiful full moon if you don't resist it. Right? If you don't resist it, if we resist what we're being called to look at right now, like we were talking earlier before Anna came in. Hi, Anna. Anyway, when we talked about the wounded healer, but we also talked about the sense of what we're being called to look at in terms of our healing, right? And in terms of, you know, what in us as healers, right? What do we typically do? We don't know how to say no, or set a boundary, or, you know, or without feeling that if we have to let people somehow suck us dry, that's very common, you know, just very, very common for healers. They don't know when the cutoff point is, right? And so knowing that you don't have to apologize for saying that's it. My feelings and emotional responses literally became parts of your personality. Exactly. But you have to be careful, right? That because the feelings are not facts. If you get triggered and it gets you into fear, that doesn't mean that that thing in front of you is what happened to the original fear. So these are capable. These are moments in time. you know, where you say, oh, that's interesting. I have this issue. It got triggered. I need to set a boundary now. And that's what we're learning here. We learn setting boundaries. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I love the first line in this, and you're going to have to say it again.
Nemesis.
Okay. I'll get it right by next week. That there are certain moments within our personal history that hold great treasure for you now. This is all about changing the story. It's exactly what you just described, Colette, in your own life, looking back at these moments in our lives and creating, finding the treasure in the new story, right? And so this, when we talk about this position, what are we releasing in order to move forward? It's releasing the old story about these moments in our lives is what I'm picking up. Does that make sense? Does that sound 100%. Right, Colette?
It is. And everybody's being asked to do that right now.
Yeah.
And I like what Annette said, which is like releasing cords that are suddenly visible.
Nice.
Suddenly visible. Now let's, this is for the full moon. Now let's pick the next card. The third card in that, in the full moon illuminating spread is, what lesson am I harvesting so I can move through it to attract my highest good? And it's Nyx. So this is what's really powerful with this is Nyx is the goddess of secrets. She's actually the goddess of the night. The night sky. She is the goddess, yes, of secrets. There you go, Doug. And when Nyx enters into the picture, she reminds us that not everything is knowable. Like, you know, we're harvesting the ability to trust the unknowable, the unknown. That is what we're harvesting. Mm. The capacity to trust in what we cannot see and have faith that we don't need to figure it out, and to surrender. Exactly. Thank you, Debbie.
That's really good.
Right? To surrender to it. And then position four is, what opportunities next await me? Now she's Oshun. Mm-hmm. There are many ways of pronouncing her name, apparently. I called her Ocean, but there's others that say Oshun and others that say Oshun. So whichever way you say it, it's Oshun, Oshun. She is the goddess of generosity. She is an Orisha, a Yoruba goddess. And she reminds all of us that that's what we're landing on here. She's your Orisha. Orisha. Julia Malone. So this is this beautiful goddess that enters our lives and says that this is the world will give us this. And we are exchanging this with the rest of the world. That when we trust and surrender and have faith and remind ourselves that this is what we are here to do. We're here to release the past. We're here to shed light, illuminate. What was the first, which is the illumination, which we illuminated, is the upside down Athena, which is the alignment Athena and the Memesine. So that's like, we don't have to figure everything out right away. It's an unknowable thing sometimes. And that if we trust in that, more than what we need will be there for us. And I think that's what's so key. Thank you, Doug. Mm-hmm. That deck is fabulous.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually. I think it's so... Well, there's so many things we could talk about around the full moon and what's happening right now. I mean, I've been doing a lot of reading because it's what I'm going through as well, right, in my own life. But there is a very significant shift happening for us right now, especially between now and the next couple of months, while we're in this class, while we're doing this work, that I think is very timely in terms of how we express the work we have been doing over the last 9 years. In fact, there was some readings I was looking at that if you think back to 2010, anything happening in the last 9 years has been a time where we've kind of, Chiron's been doing its work in Pisces, in that spiritual space. And now it's coming into this more Aries, extroverted space, action-oriented space. So perfect that we're getting these strong messages about wisdom, about changing the story, about, you know, really finding those moments that can become treasure in that regard.
And it's the doing. So I think coming into that Aries, it's like, what are you going to do about it?
Absolutely.
Right? Like, what do you do about it? You behave differently. You no longer, you don't tolerate the same things anymore. Right?
Right.
So you don't, you know, I'll
think. Boundaries.
Huh?
Boundaries, like you were talking about a minute ago. Yeah.
You know, it's We are all here to do our own internal work. And as a result of us understanding ourselves more, remember, you know, the know thyself, and then we can share that lived experience, which some of that lived experience, people think, oh, a lived experience means you've gone out there and done something. But lived experience also is sometimes are those deep soul wrenching epiphanies that we have about ourselves. And, you know, and to look at ourselves with great clarity, compassion and forgiveness so that we no longer hurt ourselves or others anymore. So it's very powerful stuff. And I think you're right, Doug, the entire class is being, is under the beautiful auspices of this new transit, astrological transit. So anyway, so I thought that was a good way for us to start this evening's call. Now, what we like to do in Shared Wisdom is go over the content, if you have any questions, et cetera, from the written material that you got. Now, again, we're easing our way in. We're here right until the end of the summer. So I want to invite you guys to post your questions. I'm going to go back over to the, and then we can talk about what you've just gone over, because I know a few of you have some questions. Let me just go back to the Oracle School website.
Do you want to start with just talking a little about the idea of a 24-hour period again and filters?
Sure.
And that feels like, you know, there's three really key concepts we want to kind of make sure we land in module one. And you guys have watched the videos and gone through this, or you will. But talk about this importance of a 24-hour period, Colette. That's something I know you're so sure. passionate about, and we know it works.
And I this is interesting. So hang on one second. Yep. Just a second.
Okay.
I got locked out of my own course. That's not funny. That is very hilarious. Okay, so let's just talk about that, because I cannot. Yeah, that is hilarious. I literally am here on the Oracle School website and I can't get in. That is hilarious. They won't let me in. It says it's locked until February 25th. Oh, okay. So let's talk about you talk about filters, the 24-hour and filters. Let's go there. Okay, good. So we're going to go through all these sections of module one. Here's the thing. We live our lives and we see the world through the filter of our life experience and personality. So one of our filters is our story, right? So we're going to always kind of, it's like we're a sieve, and whatever information comes through us, we look for matches, and our brain is created to do that. Unlock the front door for Colette. Don't worry about it. I have enough. And I got locked out too. I know that's very funny. Anyway, so the life experience and personality each of us has is what we bring to the table. That's why the observer and the transpersonal is so crucial. Because we will consistently, if we don't know our story and then the collective story, right? We have to be able to see beyond ourselves, beyond that suction cupped world at the end of our nose. Otherwise, we can't see accurately for other people, because we're still going to be affected by our life experience and personality and our biases, right? So we have to know what those are. We have to take a look at what do they look like to us. You know, how do they feel to have them, you know, and see ourselves through a clarity, like a clearer lens with objectivity, without judgment or bias about our bias and our judgment, right? Does that make sense, Doug?
Totally. And I think, you know, part of why this is so important in this first module of Shared Wisdom is up until now, we've been talking about the filters and the 24-hour compartments of our own personal life. But we're about to get to the place where we have to deal with what dominant energy might be coming up from someone else that Correct. May have nothing to do with us. So the idea of reminding us about our own filters and our own mm-hmm. sense of, you use the term in the writings, Colette, in the home play, talking about expansive or contracting.
Yeah.
What are the emotional components to our energy? And realizing that it's so critical that we know our own energy, so that when we do get ready to share wisdom with someone else, we can notice where that difference might be, and we can be aware of that. So it's beginning at that place of filtering, because of the need for us to be in the space of neutrality, or at least observing it when we do shared wisdom with others.
Yeah. So the other thing too is about the, and I apologize, I'm going like this because I have swimmer's ear my ear is so itchy and I have to be on a plane tomorrow. So I'm like, I've got a drop in my ear and that's why I apologize, but it's driving me crazy. So we want to also remember that contracted energy is a negative prayer. So how do we, when we're in that contracted energy, we want to know, oh, how long am I here for? What is this doing for me? And if we keep reminding ourselves, oh, well, that's something I'm sending out as a prayer to the universe, we are more likely to go, okay, wait a sec, I got to prepare myself to step out of this and realize that, oh yes, because everything that we send out to the universe, whether it's expanded or contracted, is a frequency that will be matched, depending on how long we stay in it, will be matched by some kind of event, person, place, or thing from the outer world. And it will come up until you no longer need this lesson, right? So we want to be clear that we are spending less and less time in the contracted state and more time in the more expanded state, or at least personally, I like the neutral state. The neutral state for me is when I can make a choice, right? It's like, right? Like getting there is more important, I think, than even in, like being in an expanded state comes after that.
It's also a space of no judgment, or the space of, that's interesting, as we talked so much about in personal mastery. Catherine Keating Kay had posted a question just now in the Zoom room, Colette. She said, you know, didn't quite understand what it means when you wrote, we get there through the observer and through surrendering our attachments to spirit. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. And that's a good question. So an attachment, let's play around with what an attachment could be. So attachment could be a resentment. Like when you haven't worked something out with somebody and you resent them, you're playing it over in your head over and over and over again, and you can't let it go because you haven't worked it out. That's an attachment, right? So if you go, and that becomes very personal, you are identified with that contracted emotion. And that's just one example. That's a big example, right? So the concept that, you know, we can, and then we contribute by being unable to let something go. And then we identify with the feeling. Then when I say we identify with the feeling, we become that because we say, I am resentful. I am angry about that person. I am. So there, we become immediately attached to the dot, to the narrative of what I am. So when we surrender to the fact that there it is, like the first surrender is, oh, I'm in a resentment. That's surrender number one. Guilty. Second surrender is, oh, I'm going to turn this over to my higher power. Because there's a saying, I can't, he can, so I'll let him. No human power can relieve me of the bondage of self, right? So we become indentured servants to this, that to this feeling. We literally become a hostage to it. And it's, you can't talk your way out of it and say, I'm not gonna feel resentment anymore. You can't, you're done. You're done like dinner. So it's like, I gotta surrender to my higher power. I can't, he can, I'll let him. And then we get into a different state, say, I'm incapable of doing this on my own. I can do this with spirit. Because then immediately when we have, oh, that's interesting, this is what has happened. Well, I'm going to surrender this to spirit and I'm going to step back and I'm going to observe this, right? And it is through that state of observation that we are no longer judging ourselves for having those feelings, for being contracted, for doing the thing we said we would never do ever again or feel ever again. And then we are able to make a tiny shift. And these, we change drastically with 100 tiny shifts, right? We make huge leaps. And then one day, teeny weeny little shifts, all of a sudden, pow, we're a different person.
It's so interesting to me.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's, I love this because it's something that I've learned over, done a lot of work on myself over the last 10, 15 years on this particular topic that because I have always, my whole life, I've had big emotions and big feelings. And in some cases it's been something that people have criticized me for having too big of emotions. And what I've learned to realize is that when rather than say I am angry or I am sad, I start to, I've really even kind of varied it recently with something that said, where I say, part of me is feeling anger. Part of me is feeling sadness. Not all of me, because there's a part of me that I could go to if I wanted to that feels joy. And I just have to tune into that. So part of me is feeling X or Y. And that's a really, that's using our language to unlock ourselves from the burden and the bondage that having emotions, self-identifying with emotions can give us. And that's what we're trying to do so that you get to that space of neutral observer. And it is more empowering, Terry. That's exactly the idea. The neutral observer is the space of empowerment. It's where it's the one doing the seeing, right? It's the one doing the observing. And so it is us, but it is a part of us that is above the reactions of our day-to-day life and the experience in our story.
Trish Nichols said something I think very profound. I'm going to read it. She says, it's so difficult to understand myself when that attachment of resentment reappears. It's like all the work in progress I've made just goes out the door. It's a real tough cookie to snap. And part of me feels grief of loss of myself and the relationship that triggers me. Yes. And that is also true. And I feel that way sometimes too. And then that's when we say, oh, this is only a part of me. That this part of me that believed that they are correct, you know, that remember we get a resentment because some part of us believes they're true. Like I used to believe that I deserved to be abused because I came from an abusive background, right? So that, and that I'm to apologize to my abuser for making them abuse me. Like your teacher has been through a lot, right? And coming to that place where would I, that's a part of me that got frozen there. 95% of the other me knows different. But yeah, and then grief happens because it's sad that there's a part of us, right? That there is this part of us that feels those feelings. And like you said, I'm not an angry blob. A part of me is angry. How empowering to say. Exactly. A part of me. I love that. I'm not an angry blob. So it's that sense of like, and then you can really be compassionate when you realize like, oh my gosh, there's this part of me that got frozen in those first moments that just got triggered. And when you think of being triggered, it means a button was pushed and that old self, the vulnerable self, the self that never healed, wakes up and you think you're it or her, and that's all you feel. So the grief is natural, Trish. I just, you know, yes, it's, well, it isn't, it isn't a goblin, Sammy, because I think that when we, the goblin is the, actually, yes, it is. It is. It's the part that we've disowned. Of ourselves. We don't want to admit that that exists. And then there's a tremendous grief that we need to feel because that means that we haven't felt the compassion and forgiveness yet. So I just want to acknowledge that when Trish brought that, the healing is the being compassionate with this part of yourself. Exactly. 100%.
So I love that, Colette. I think that there is this, when we think of the, oh, I just completely got distracted. Sorry. So where I was going to go was talking about contracting and how we feel it in our body. Now I remembered what I was going to say. Hold on. What I was going to say was that the way we get back to neutral observer, which you taught me and I love, is that's interesting. If ever I am in the space of over-identifying with an emotional reaction or response, if I can pull myself back to say, that's interesting. I'm going to be curious about that for a second. It's like that. It takes no time at all for us to get out of the reaction and to come back and say, well, wow, I wonder why I'm having those feelings. That's interesting. What's the story here? What's the space? Anyway, so we had a question from Deborah Gray about wanting to know more about contracting. And I thought it would lead into the second topic for tonight, which is how we notice how we feel these filters in our body.
Right.
Like so, the embodiment stuff.
So I think that we still can talk a little more about this and how that goes there. Okay. Cause we will feel the trigger in somewhere in our body. And typically we're going to feel it in the same place and we'll either feel fear. The initial trigger will either feel fear or rage or shame, right? Fear, rage, shame, maybe even guilt. So, and they will live in the same part of your body every time. So mine will live like always here. Like my fear comes here. Like I'm being choked. I can't speak. I don't have tight chest and anger. Other people have gut. Like Terry, for Terry, it's the gut. For some reason, my gut is not there. So there's this sense of you'll know which part of the body it is. So your filter for both, right, anger, tight chest, and gut. So you need to know what those are, and because your body's a language, it's saying, hey, ooh, here we go. You know, here are these things. They might be all four of them, fear, rage, shame, and guilt, right? But it will affect your five senses. Thank you, Sammy. Right? It will show up, the filter will show up in the body, and the body will contract. So this is a contraction. Sorry, I'm playing with my hair, but I'm now itchy. when you get swimmer's ear, everything goes cuckoo. When you've got these things in your ear, you're going like this. Anyway, I'm sorry, guys. Anyhow, so you have this sense of here it is. And then you go into, well, that's interesting. Because the emotion, because we are a body, we are in our bodies. We identify with the body because that's us. That's why we are the body. So we think this is all the time. This feeling is all the time, right? And I think that that's really important for us to remember that feeling. Now, Doug, can you bring back that question again?
Yeah, well, I think we answered the question, which is what was it? What did it tell me? She wanted to know more. Deborah Gray wanted to know more about contracting and how we would recognize that.
Okay, you have a language. You have the exact same language in your body every time when you're contracted. It doesn't change. It's not going to all of a sudden show up in your toe. It's going to be in your solar plexus, in your gut, in your chest, in your throat, and it will always come to the same place. Now, Jan Dawson mentioned, what if we're having these feelings as our inner being is trying to steer us in another direction? There is a difference. So here's the thing, Jan, you will know, like, for example, if there is a person that is unsafe for you to be around, you're going to get that sense of feeling. And here's the rub around this. Part of you, the healthy part, the part of you that is identifying now more intuitively, knows it's saying to you, red flag, walk away. But then there's another part that can kick in, which is, oh, that's familiar. I know you. Please, can I be your friend? Right? Can I rescue you, broken bird? Right. So something is not right here can easily trans, right? It's so very slight. Exactly, Allison. You have to pay attention. And and that's when you go back and go, ooh, there was a red flag right there. I even remember when I saw it. So really, it's just the red flag on it, you recognize, and that's the other thing. You don't take it personally. That's the hardest part, but the best part. Because once you get into the observer, it's not about you. It's no. Like, oh, that's interesting. Not a good fit. Now,
this is such a great conversation for us to be having this week, because one of the things we really want to encourage you to do is journal. Yeah. Journal as you're starting to doing, sharing wisdom with other people, noticing what you're feeling in your body. For some of us, and I'll speak for myself, I struggled with feeling my body. It took me a couple of years. Now, I've always been a big guy, at least in my mind, and I think I numbed some of my feelings in my body, and certainly some of my emotions with food and other things. And so it's taken me a lot of effort to really be silent enough and still enough, yeah, to really get centered and grounded and know what's happening in my body. Mm-hmm. So with both of these two topics we've talked about, the sense of filters and energy, dominant energy that we're feeling, and how we're feeling things in our body, I want to really encourage you to begin to notice what you felt and what actually happened, or what was the reality of that. Beginning to get some language there for yourself will be really helpful, especially over the course of this program, because that is you're learning how not only the cards speak to you, the oracle cards speak to you, and how spirit speaks to you, but how your body is an instrument for spirit to speak to you as well.
Yeah. Yes, Ellen, it's exactly that. When she goes, when I meet someone new and I sometimes get a feeling that something isn't right around this person, is that the same? Yeah. Or you may even be picking up that they're sick or whatever, depending on how your intuition works. But yeah, you can tell there's a sense of, if you're aware of yourself, you're aware that your body is telling you yes, no, maybe, good, comfortable, familiar? Is it my, are we familiar because our bags match? Are we familiar because, right, because our luggage, right?
Or our baggage matches.
Baggage matches, exact baggage matches. And you know what? But we're all here to learn, right? It's so true. Trish is writing quite a bit. Mature, we're discussing amazing stuff for the release of this full moon. Exactly. So here's the thing. And one of the reasons why familiar is not always good. Exactly, Lisa. I want to go back to what somebody mentioned. I think it was Catherine again, said something about, you know, being trained to believe that everyone is nice, that so that you mix message yourself. It's very common. Now, I'm not suggesting, you know, all of you have been abused, but little kids, people who have had sexual abuse issues, like I was molested when I was a kid, I was raped when I was older. So, and I was taught you weren't allowed to say no, or you were meant, you know, you had to apologize if my dad hit us and he was angry. And I'm not saying he was abusive, because that was the old country did that, right? I was like, you apologize to your father. And he goes, look what you made me do. And then later, when something really abusive did happen to me, my initial reaction was, oh my God, I did something wrong. If somebody abuses me, I must have done something. And that takes a lifetime to shake. It takes a lifetime to shake. And now I might get triggered that way, but I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that part of me woke up. I got to love her and put her back to sleep, because the adult me, yes, if you don't judge how you feel, be that. Emotions are important. Rather allow the feelings and observe them. They will teach you more about you than you realize. Thank you, Anna. Yes, it's never about a judgment. Like I go, oh, wow, that's interesting. I've got a lot of fear right now. I've got a lot of confusion. I don't know where I'm grounded. I can step back and be okay with those feelings. Like, you don't want to not have the feelings, because then you are also telling your intuition that, it's a way for us to understand how we're made. Like, I know how I'm made. I'm made that a button will get pushed and I will naturally go there, but I'll go, oh, that's not healthy, but I'm not judging it. I'm like, oh, that's okay. Take a minute. This is the better choice. So remember, the only way that we can make these choices and create a new life for ourselves and become the person that we want to become is certainly not by judging any part of ourselves. It's by embracing all of it, including the story that I think Catherine used to, I think it was a Catherine, that was like, I was taught to believe that everybody was nice, or you had to say yes to everybody. The context of that, right? People pleasing is very hard. Exactly. And so that's very common, very, very common for people who are attracted to this work. So just know that it's okay, but you don't have to act on it, right? You don't have to act on it, but don't judge it. Go ahead, Dark.
Well, and it's an absolutely great segue to our third topic before we maybe bring some people up, which is, yeah, being really clear about boundaries and responsibilities when you're working with others. This is one of the videos that you saw, video 4 that Colette did, working with others. She talked a lot about some of the things that we have to do. And it starts with asking permission, but it's also about boundaries. It's about taking personal responsibility for yourself, not taking responsibility for someone else, by the way, and also the ethics of that. So when you think, Colette, when you think about kind of helping us move into this space, because I think you had wanted to maybe bring some people up later in the fall. So let's give some key reminders that we want to do before people pull a card for someone else. What are some of the key points we want to bring to life that you always want to make sure happen?
So what's really key is to know yourself, to know where you are, and to make a decision in advance, right? So when you sit down with somebody else, first of all, you need to get their permission. And that's like, may I do this with you? And how much would you like me to say? And may I interpret this intuitively, right? That's the other thing. Can I share my experience with you? And perhaps you can, it's a way you communicate with the other person. But also too, to recognize that you may want an outcome, like being really clear about your motives. Like, why are you doing it? Do you want to show off your knowledge with somebody? Or is like, be really clear about those motives that you bring to the table too. Like, there's so many things. I don't know, Doug, did Did you want me to focus on any one specific?
No, that's it. Those are the things. Like, that's exactly it, actually. I think it's about first, where are you, right? Like, it's like when you're in the shopping mall, make sure you know where you are first, right? Where's your you are here dot right now? So, you know, you've got to, before you start pulling a card for someone else, ask where you are. Do you have any ulterior motives? Make sure you kind of clear those, release those. This can especially be true when we're doing pulling cards and sharing wisdom with friends or family or people that we know and we love. So being really clear about what's your agenda, make sure that you have none, right? We recommend getting grounded, doing meditation, whatever. And we'll talk more about that. There'll be things that will help you with that. But then it is that, as Colette said, it's that asking permission, right? So,
And also, can I say this too?
Yeah.
What I find really helpful is to also remember you're not doing it.
Yeah,
like,
thank you.
That's the other thing is, like, you're asking, like, okay, there's a prayer that I say, you know, I used to say before every reading, make me a channel of divine clairvoyance. Of myself, I am nothing. The universe doeth the works. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I may better do thy will. Thy will be done through me. Let there be light through my eyes. Let me only speak for the highest good and do no harm. So the idea that you're saying, we let spirit flow through us. Exactly. So, and then you can even say, oh, I don't want to, I think I'm nervous. I don't want to be wrong. Like, you can say that in shared wisdom. It's like, oh, you know, or just, you can even say, like, I'm not sure if this is going to make any sense, but, you know, I can post it, Debbie, I can post it. So it's this art of allowing. Exactly. And then that's it. Just allow whatever comes. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm wondering if maybe you or I want to pull a card for the other and do a role play so that people can kind of see what we're looking to do. And then we can go and
let people try it together.
And then bring up some pairs. So if you want to try it, raise your hand.
Oh, Julia, hang on one sec. Julia. Oh, yeah. I do use it, but I don't do this professionally anymore. I used to do readings for 30 years professionally. That's what I said before every reading that I did, professional readings. So I just said I did it. I was referring to when I did readings professionally. So I retired 2 years ago. Yeah.
And part of what we're teaching, and we'll talk about this a lot this course, is the distinction between a reading and sharing wisdom. And so, and part of it, the key piece is the power dynamic, right?
Yeah.
A reading, there is someone who knows and someone who doesn't know. Whereas, and so there's some kind of
passive.
Yeah, an active and passive. When we talk about sharing wisdom, we're coming together as peers, and we pull a card and we read what the book says about the card. We're not trying to come up with some magical answer. We have a book that guides us. And then we talk about what in that book is really resonating for us. Maybe there's a part of our own lived experience we can bring to life and offer as share. Or we ask them to find themselves in what we just read. So really, it's the difference between doing a reading and sharing wisdom.
Right. So do you want to try it with each other? And it's a little bit awkward in the beginning, guys, but I love what Doug said, that it's peer to peer. There's an equality here. So nobody's one upping the other one. In a reading, it's, you're expected to know more than the passive receiver who's there specifically to listen to you. Here, we're showing how you get a richer dynamic. And then you're not saying to the person, oh, I'm going to pull a card for you. And I'm the know-it-all. No, it's like, do you want to look it up in the book? And boom. Debbie C, raise your hand, girl. Okay, let's pick Debbie.
Well, let's, do you want to do one?
Oh, yeah, yeah, let's do one together, sure.
Just to try and role play and let you guys see it.
Okay.
So do you want me to do a card for you? You want to do one for me?
You pick first.
Okay, so pick one for you.
Please.
Okay, so Colette, thank you for taking some time.
You're welcome.
May I have permission to pull a card for you?
Yes. Would you like me to focus on something though first? Do you want me to, or should I just ask?
Yeah, is there something you'd like to know more about or you'd like to have some information on?
I think I would. And yes, I would.
Okay. Yes, do you know, and you know what that is?
I would like to know, what do I need to know about making shared wisdom an even better experience for everybody?
Perfect. So what do you need to know about making shared wisdom an even better experience for everybody? So I'm just going to shuffle the cards.
Okay.
And I'm going to, since we're on camera here, I'm going to pull the card for you. But if we were together, I might let you pull the card if you want it, but I'm going to just pull the card. I'm going to ask you though, top, middle, or bottom?
I would like the middle, please.
You got it. And all right, I'm just going to fan it out and pull a card for you. So interesting. The card I pulled, Spirit's making me work for this one, y'all. The card I pulled is not for you.
I know what this means.
Okay, well, this is my turn. this is why it's always hard to do a card for Colette, just for the record. So Colette, we have this book. I'm going to read this book. So the key meaning of this card is a clear knowing that something is being denied. Your rejection is God's protection. So again, thinking of your question, which was, what do you need to know to make or share wisdom the best for everybody? The message here is that there are times when it appears that no matter how deeply you may desire something or how no matter how hard you work at something, the result you seek always seems to elude you. It's as if you don't really get to be in the game and feel you're watching from the sidelines. The appearance of this card indicates that you're not going to attain what you want right now, but that indeed your dreams for that exact thing will not be fulfilled right now. This is a time instead to just radically accept that not everything is available to you. Take heart, because there are benevolent forces who desire the best for you and have a much clearer idea of what is for your highest good. Rejection is God's protection. Something even better will make you truly happy is on its way. Trust this.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, you go.
So that was my dominant energy. Because I was thinking about another situation while I asked that question.
I wondered about that.
My dominant energy was that I was a little bit in a knot about this other thing that I wanted to understand why it was happening. Why couldn't this person go away? And oh my God, that was too funny. And that is so true, because
it is the perfect card.
Not for me. It is to leave it alone. It's to radically accept it. And I got to tell you, I was trying not to think about it. Like, don't think about the pink elephant.
Yep. And you got a card for the pink elephant.
That makes shared wisdom better. But in the back of my head was like, okay, I can't handle this other thing that happened.
Yeah.
What do I do about it? It just said, don't. Not for you.
Not for you. That's great.
So perfect. Okay. Doug?
Yes.
Would you like a turn? May I choose a card?
You may.
And would you like to ask a specific question?
Yeah, I'm going to ask, what do I need to know for my highest good about this amazing weekend I'm about to be a part of this weekend?
Okay. You see that? I got busted. No, but you see, here's what's so good about that, about that reading, because I came to the table with a dominant energy and a mindset that I was sort of feeling a little peeved about something. And and honestly, when I knew I was going to get a card, that was the first thing that came to my mind. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to ask about that. I was so good.
And what's interesting, yeah, and if Colette hadn't been as so quick on it with her own awareness of the card, what I might have done is I might have asked questions like, Colette, has there been a time in your life recently where you've been focused on something that you've like maybe even been thinking about a lot, but you really need to just let go of it?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's really the message of this card, is that there's something that you're focusing on that you just need to release, and not because it's not for you. You don't need to worry about it anymore.
No, and it's not for me. That's
it's not for you.
You cannot. So how can I apply the not for me card to the other situation? So let's pretend, because they've been asking that. So, but I mean, that was a real incident where my dominant energy was like, oh, right away, I'm like, I know what that's talking about. That is not talk. That's the question I shoved down. I didn't want to ask because I shouldn't, in my head, I shouldn't be thinking about that.
I knew where you're going.
Not for you. So here's the thing, like it, your, the card will always indicate the dominant energy of the person in front of you. So then you would, that you either hope that the person is going to say, oh, wow, I know what that's about. That's not the card. That's not this question I said out loud. And let's say it was the other question. Then it would mean basically that I don't need to do anything differently. Because if it says not for you, there's no other thing I can do to make it better for shared wisdom. It's not for you. It's like, you don't have to chase after anything. It's in front of you. It's like the universe is basically saying, what are you doing trying to fix something that's not broken, basically, right? So that's how we would apply it to that.
But the absolutely. Truth is
that in truth, I was thinking about something else. I wasn't really obsessed about it. I was just like, why can't I have my way? Kind of vibe about this other thing. And I was like, well, why am I thinking about that? I'm about to get my card read. Right. So there you go. Now, Doug, I'm going to shuffle the cards. Would you like top, middle, or bottom?
Bottom.
See, that's what we have to get permission, right? So we have to get permission. Yeah. Bottom? All right. So Doug, I pulled the goddess Yi, the Aboriginal goddess of the sun. And it's in the empowerment position. If we look at the book, now, also, I'm going to suggest here, when you shine your light on the world, you will attract various people and experiences that match or challenge your commitment to being empowered. Right now, you're receiving information to know which choice to make, which opportunity to take, and which person to trust. The average Australian sun goddess Yi illuminates your path with her rays and brings clarity as she shows you what you need to know. A bright light also attracts a lot of bugs. This is also for me. So know that you may also attract those who see themselves smaller as a result of your empowerment. This is conditioning that needs to be healed in many people in the world. All you can do is be incandescent and joyful, kind and truthful, and the world will begin to reflect that goodness back to you. The goddess Yi is happy to help you shine.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Doug, what jumped out for you?
Well, two things jumped out. One is that I'm in this space. I think, as you guys know, that I'm now self-employed, working on my own for the first time in 20-something years, and I love that. And I have lots of opportunities that are coming my way. As I think about this weekend, it could be easy for me to be distracted. My job this weekend is to just shine, to just be me, and to bring myself to the table.
I love that. And what I also love about it that I identify with, since we're sharing wisdom, right? This is what you guys can say too. Is it okay if I add something to that? So,
yes,
because I also identify with that card in my life, I know that I can be a, you know, when he says that bright light can attract a lot of bugs, because sometimes, you know, other people don't want you to shine, or they feel smaller as a result of you shining. And, you know, in the past, we might have been taught that we would be punished for that, right? So there's that kind of secondary thing in there. So I'm like, yeah, that's a really great, great card for you. But also I identified with that too. So thank you, Doug.
Yeah. It's funny that that statement is so connected to some work I've done with my therapist over the last number of years. She talks about the fact that just because everybody likes you and wants to have a piece of you doesn't mean you have to give it to them.
Right. Because,
which is very much about my codependency, right? If someone tells me they like me and they want to be my friend, I think I have to be I want to be their friend. But not everybody is at the same level that I would want to have as a friend, right? I mean, I have to really ask myself, this right for me. And
right.
So I think totally yes back to boundaries, Maggie. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, right. So this is how it's done, right? So we can be okay with talking. We can say, oh, I identify with that, and now I can apply that, and whoops, my dominant energy was not that question. So we want to give you guys permission to just be yourselves, and I think those cards really were important, like a chit-chat over coffee, exactly. You want there to feel like a common denominator. So let's pick a couple of people.
You guys need to raise your hands. I've only got four people who've raised their hands. You can, I know more of you want to do that. We'll be doing this almost every week. This is one of the things that Colette and I really like to do, is bring you guys up and let you practice, because it is the way these calls are less about content. We'll cover some high points, but it's much more about the practical. So really look forward to having some hands raised, and then we'll randomly choose from the hands raised. Thank you guys. So we're going to start with Teresa Cran. Teresa, I'm going to bring you up. Be sure you have a deck with you. You're going to come onto video and audio as well, Teresa. And then Sandy Dixon, you're going to come.
Oh, Sandy. Next. Hey, Teresa.
Hang on. Let me unmute you. There you go.
All right. I'm going to mute.
I'm so excited to be here today. Yay.
Hi, Teresa.
How yeah.
Hi, Sandy.
How are you?
I'm
all
great.
Right.
This is my second week. So I'm very excited.
Perfect. Welcome back, both of you. Welcome back.
More practice.
Good. And you can keep taking it. It's like it changes every time. Every time. All right. Yes.
And I had an oracle card party, so.
Oh!
So exciting.
Was it fun?
Manitoba, so you can come see polar bears.
I'll come to Manitoba. I'll go anywhere. I'll go anywhere. So did you have the oracle card party? Did you take pictures?
Yes, and there I did the hashtag and everything. And
was it fun?
Oh my God, it was so fun.
Excellent.
I had a total of 5 people, and I did a sort of a demo reading for people, and they all chose a deck that they could resonate with. And there was some really wise women at my table, and I felt so blessed.
Wow.
So blessed. And it was just like, oh, I'm so doing this again. This is so awesome. some people didn't even know what an oracle card was, and they all did so well. Like it was amazing.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to let you guys go at it, and you decide who goes first. Doug, you want to be the leader?
I would say, Teresa, you're going to pull the first card for Sandy, and then Sandy will pull a card for Teresa. That's all right.
Her enthusiasm is contagious right now.
So we'll let you guys start. Key things, ask permission, check and see if there's a topic you want to pull a card for, pull the card, read from the book, and see, share what comes up or what questions you might have or your own experience. Just kind of make that connection.
Okay. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Teresa.
May I have your permission to pick a card for you today?
Yes, you do.
And do you have a particular question in mind for the card?
I'm fairly open, but I'm going to say that it's going to circulate around my next right action steps, how to stay in line with my new business that I created.
Oh, okay. I'm just writing this down for me. So how to stay in alignment with your new business for your highest good. Is that
correct?
Is that okay? Okay?
That sounds perfect.
All right. So I'm going to shuffle the cards here. And I've already cleared them. I gave them a little knock there. And I'm going to show you the deck here. And I'm going to, this is my right side. And this is my left side. And that's the middle. So do you want to pick a card in here somewhere where my finger might stop?
Right there.
Right here?
Mm-hmm.
This one here?
That's
okay.
It.
Okay, and I'm going to turn it over. And I picked round and round in protection. I always laugh when I get this one. I'm like, oh, okay, I need to listen to this one.
Mm-hmm.
So do you mind if I do a little read of the book and a little sort of reflection on the card for you?
Please, go ahead.
All right. Okay, so the first message that I'm getting from the visual of the card is that it's a very gentle feeling, and not to worry too much that it is this card, because it's one of those, it's a choice point, but it's a gentle one. Okay, so we'll see what comes up here. 25. Okay, so the essential meaning is the spiral quality of events when a lesson isn't quite integrated and cycles you are challenged to break and revisiting a pattern from a new perspective. So I'm just going to read the protection message. I'm just going to quickly read and scan through here. Okay, what's resonating with me right now for you is be happy, for this is a wonderful spot to be in. And that's, and that was kind of that kind of goes with the gentle message from the visual part of the card. And it says, you can now see the cycles that you wish to exit. So let me ask you this, because everybody knows what the round around card is. Have you been practicing your, you know, being in your observer and really being able to kind of rise above things with your new situation?
Yes, I have. In fact, that's probably the mantra of 2019 right now. I started my own yoga and meditation business instead of being an independent contractor at lots of different locations, and brought it into my own studio. And so each time that I try to start each day and I pull my card to see where my highest alignment is, it's to remind me again, it's so easy to fall back into those same things that happen at those old studios, the same students that are following me. I have a following of people that are coming and the same lessons are present. We're just continuing the journey now, but I love that round and round, and that protection is, I'm at a different vantage point and I can see it in a whole new way if I choose to, or not, and do the same old, and not have as much growth. So I do feel like that is a constant reminder for me. And I love it. I love that it came up, because that is definitely something that I want to continue to keep in the forefront.
Wow, that's really interesting. Do you mind if I add a little wee bit more as talking?
Mm-hmm.
I got the sense from Spirit that the word studio is super important. And you said you were you had relocated to a new studio?
Opening my own.
Oh yeah, opening your own. Okay. The study of the round and round is part of it, what I'm getting is if I could add, is that the actual study of the round and round card is something you can share with your students.
I like that.
So thank Teresa, I just want to say thank you. I want to pause you for a second. So, cause this is great, you guys. So really good. Couple of things to just, Teresa, this is your second time in Shared Wisdom. So we know you've got a little experience here, but want to just acknowledge that all you have to do is start with the book. In fact, I really want to encourage you to just kind of begin there, because what that does is then gives you, you could even ask the question, as you did, what resonates with you, Sandy? So you kind of give that space of shared place of the peer access, if you will. You want to make sure that whatever we do is always giving that space for both of us to connect. And you did that with some of your questions, which was great. So really good. Colette, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. So I loved the exchange. I love the way you immediately said that it was soft. Because we tend to see the round and round card right away as a harsher card when it's in protection, right? We're like, ah! It means like, am I going to go do the same thing again? And you immediately tuned into the fact that it was a softer. And that was interesting, because you didn't need to say that. But that was the first thing you identified with, which was your intuitive take on, hey, this is a soft. And because you've been in Shared Wisdom before, and we assume that we know that card well, right? That, and you knew right away, Sandy, that there was, that you were at a different vantage point. So I think because it was your first time, and I knew, Teresa, you were jumping out of your skin to say some more, which is great, which is really great. So we wanted to stop you at this point, because all the new people, right, that have never seen this before may not understand that they can do that yet. So,
I'm going to be right with you because I'm going to have to refrain from that as well. So
right, and that's okay. So remember, there are new people here who have never done this, but you. So what you did felt very natural, Teresa. Very, very natural, and I felt like Sandy got it. And there was an equality between the two of you that was felt like there were really two peers sharing information. Right, so it was really good. Again, I thought it was fantastic, both for both. You're receiving of it and you're giving of it, Teresa.
And Teresa, yeah, thank you very much for your insights. And also, not to, from my perspective of sharing with you, you asked a few times, you don't have to keep asking again and again, may I share, may I share, may I share? I want you to share. I really do. And then I feel like it's a true shared between equals. Otherwise, I feel like I'm unapproachable, and that's why you keep asking me. But that was just my feeling and getting it from you, because everything is so spot on, so beautiful, and it's just coming, flowing through you.
I have something to add. Okay. So that was your filter.
Yes.
So you received that from your filter, but I think Teresa was asking because it was you guys are the first people up. She was the first person to do a reading, and she wanted to make sure she wasn't stepping on any toes. So it wasn't that, and it was more like, is this okay? Can I do it? More to us than it was to you, right?
Good point.
Right?
I kind of forget that you two are here on my left side screen.
Yeah, and I'm looking at yeah, because you're very approachable. I think it was more to us than to us, two big angels sitting over you. Is it okay if I can do this? Can I say this to Sandy?
yeah, because the first practice session I had when Colette and Doug gave me some coaching, because I'm an experienced reader. I've been reading cards for a long time, and I'm used to just blah.
Right, that's why she was asking.
And when it flows, it flows, it flows, it flows. And so I need to stop myself and just back up and sort of little pieces at a time.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
Well, I'm really trying to download the fact that we're equal and I'm not up here and I'm not a waterfall of information, which I'm very used to being to do that. So
true.
Love it.
So wisdom in what you just shared, Teresa.
And so true, because you can be both. One is not better than the other. This is just the way we're doing it here, right? So I made my living as a waterfall. No one was allowed to say a word to me until the end. I said, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Yes or no. That's it. Yeah. No. Okay. Shh. Then I go 30 minutes and then now you can talk, I would tell the person. So I get it. So you did great, Teresa. Yeah. So I knew she was looking to us, not to you, but I get it. And that's where the awkwardness felt. It had nothing to do with you, Sandy. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you, Sandy. Yeah, Sandy, this is more about me making sure I checked in with
Mama.
My
wall. Thank you for that. Thank you. And I love that.
So,
calling
now
out.
I'm getting out of here. Your turn.
Yeah. Before I go, I'm going to go in a second, Sandy, but I need to just, ask permission to offer you something about what you just said, what the dynamic that just happened. I have your permission to give you a little coaching perhaps, or a question. You talked about this idea of unapproachable, and what Round and Round in Protection always talks about is where are our patterns following us that we need to change, right? The things that we need to change. And I would say the fact that that came up, that topic of being unapproachable came up for you, might be something for you to be curious about with that card as it relates to you starting your own studio and business. So just know that anything that comes up when you're in this kind of shared wisdom space, even if it's your reaction or your thought, allow yourself to be curious about it is what I would invite you to do. It may be nothing, but I would just say, let's be curious. Might be something to think about. Yeah, does that make sense?
Cool. It's golden, spot on. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Your turn.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Sandy.
Do I have permission to read for you and with you today and share wisdom with you today?
I would love for you to pull a card for me today.
Thank Wonderful. You. And do you have a particular topic that you have in mind, a particular question or area?
I'm working on a creative project right now. So I would love for you to pull a card for me to what do I need to know for my highest good regarding my creative project that I'm working on as of today?
So what do you need to know for your highest good and the creative project that you're working on right now?
Yep.
That sounds like it. Excellent. I've been shuffling my cards here and clearing them as we speak. Okay. And do you have a top, middle, or bottom perspective or a desire?
Actually, the bottom.
Bottom. Up okay. Any certain amount of cards?
The actual bottom.
Excellent.
Yeah. Weird, eh?
Not weird. Change in the wind.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Do you get some feelings right away when you look at that card?
Yeah, and I'm not seeing a change in the wind, so I know it's going to knock me over. It almost feels like the tower card in the, you know, in the, like, yeah. So it hasn't happened yet, but, yeah.
So interesting. Number 12, change in the wind with that zebra and the tower and the wind blowing, and you see the leaves blowing. So I'm going to go right to the book at number 12. The essential meaning, that a sense that unseen change has been initiated and there's preparation for some sort of storm. There's a feeling of a shift and uncertainty. And so it's human nature, as the book says, that we want things to be certain, right? But the only thing that's constant is change. And now is a time of transformation as these outer conditions are temporarily moving out of sync with your desires and expectations. That stands out to me. Does it stand out to you at all? Mm-hmm. That out of sync with your desires and expectations. Interesting. And again, my lens could be my lens here of interesting. Stay the course. Remember that even storms serve to clear the air and scatter the seeds, nourish the soil for better things that are ahead. Because life in this creative project of yours is about to get interesting, Teresa.
Yeah.
Anticipate with curiosity as you wonder what's coming up. You're about to say something. I'm sorry to cut you off. What was it?
Well, there's two things about this creative project. It's actually about the Churchill Creative Collective, a group of us artists that have gotten together to create change in the community. And I'm working on this promotional video. So I've interviewed all of us, founding board members, and as I'm doing this creative project, because it was my idea, I'm also finding this gem of the energy in which the actual change will occur without, like, I need to detach from the outcome of what this video is going to create. I need to detach from the outcome of what the arts movement in Churchill will happen. Like, there's going to be a whirlwind, literally, of change after our first annual general meeting, which is going to be in April, as well as we're actually relocating for a month to do a house sitting gig in BC. So there's this whole change going around us too, but the change is actually an indication of the effect that our group has had on the community.
Isn't that interesting? Because it's that dual sense that I'm hearing from you, that outward, that the organization is changing and the change in the wind that it will create, but also going back to you, like whenever I get this card and kind of like that round and round of protection, I get a little bit of a catch my breath for a moment when I see it. Like,
well, you know,
what's coming down? What's coming up?
I have renamed my middle name as Rebirtha. Okay. Like, I think you guys have seen my post on Facebook in another area. Rebirtha. Hello. I've been rebirthing so much and accepting these new roles I've been given and just being in service. I almost can't keep up. I need to catch my breath here, but I just need to kind of be in that moment of trust and faith and not attached to the outcome as things are really in a whirlwind of change for me. So that's a very good card for me. Right.
And I love that you kept going back to that detachment piece, that you recognize the detachment. I get that a lot. And I think that line that I told you seemed to stand out to me in the book that said, temporarily moving out of sync with your desires and expectations. I don't know if you want to maybe talk about that a little bit with me. What are these, the desires and expectations from what you shared with me sound like the anticipation of what this could be. Do you have any other desires or expectations that maybe you haven't been?
And I'm going to pause you right there just because of the time. I don't want us to miss. I want you, I think that's a great place for us, for you to maybe take that, Teresa, and kind of do some work with that. Sandy, one of the things you could have done that I love, I mean, you guys are amazing. This is such a great first example. So amazing. One of the things I was curious about for you is if there was a time where change in the wind happened in your life that you could share. Mm-hmm. How you reacted and see if there's a place of personal connection there. Mm-hmm. Especially given what you just shared about changing your, you know, starting your own studio, if that had, maybe if there was a change when that happened before that, that you could have brought that to. But you guys were, I'm like, just amazing. So good. What, any thoughts, comments?
Yeah, you know, I'm just sorry we ran out of time that we had to cut you off because you were really rocking it. It was so good. Yeah, I would suggest, if I could, for the two of you to chat a little bit if you have each other's phone numbers or whatever, or even if you could PM each other, because I think you both have more to say to the other one. One thing I always know, it's very rare that only one card makes sense to one person. It's much more likely that you guys will have something to identify with. And I think that your card, once you started talking, it brought both of you together. So I think that there's something to learn from both of you and to support each other. And I think you did a great job, like a great job, given you were first up this year and we cut both of you off. So it was really, really good. Really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys got this.
Thank you. And if, you know, we can just instant message or Facebook message each other and call me.
Yeah, we'll Facebook message each other.
Yeah, because I do think that there's something very common. And I would like to make one more comment on both cards. So when round and round is in protection, it's because you asked, how do I stay in alignment with my new work? And that is how that it's like, oh, right. So that I'm aware of these past patterns, that I don't step into the same river twice, that I am. And that was the core message. Same thing with the change in the wind. You actually told her, oh yeah, this is changing, this is changing, this is changing. Because you're like, well, I don't see any changes. And then you just listed all the changes, right? I'll be really surprised. I'm like, really? You just gave us 10.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that funny?
So listen, we will have a kick out of this when you watch this video back, because like, oh, I'll be surprised. And what, really? You just said all these changes. So sometimes talking it out really makes sense, because it's like, right, we forget that the card reflects what's already happening. It's not like we're expecting some more change in the wind. It's like, no, here, look, everything is changing. And it's good, right? It's good, because remember that change for anybody, once we're in that familiar place, it always feels like, oh, it's disruptive. Any good change is disruptive, right? So I just think that both cards really reflected where you both were and are. And both of them were also saying something very positive that came out of that. So I just wanted to kind of put my little cherry on top. It is time to complete. Thank you both, ladies.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. I love this. Can you believe we get to do this?
Yeah, and so be aware, this will be something we'll do every week, guys. So just as time allows, we'll try and have some of you come up. So we'd love to have you be here. Be ready for that.
Awesome. So I'd like to complete the evening with a meditation. You've got plenty to do. You've got module 2 to look at. Please post your questions on the main hall. That's where I answer them. And I can find everything there in one spot. And I'd like to just invite you all back to the top of that beautiful crystal mountain. And let's send out a little prayer of gratitude to those wonderful women who were great teachers tonight, because every time any of you step up on the screen with us, you teach everyone else too. And we're really showing that humanity that we all have and seeing the magic that the oracles can bring us, that bring us closer together. So let's imagine that we're at the top of the mountain in our circle and we have 4 tiers around and we're holding space for one another. And we're connected in this net of filaments of light and energy that move through our hearts, one to the other, to the other. Like we become this giant, beautiful dream catcher through our hearts. And just send good wishes for every single person and gratitude for everybody in this room, in this circle, in this dream catcher. And know that we are one and we do this together, and what we do matters and how we feel matters. And all of this that we do in shared wisdom matters. And just send love and compassion to those people in the world that are suffering, knowing that each step that we take together here at Oracle School, we can make that much more of a difference in other people's lives. Thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you for you who are watching on the video. I will send you lots and sparkling energy. Bless you all. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, everybody who showed up tonight. And a special thanks to Cheryl. Is it Cheryl?
Sandy and Teresa.
Teresa. Sandy and Teresa. Why am I thinking CH? Because it's Cran. Teresa Cran. I'm like, I'm in another planet. Okay, bye.
Bye, you guys. Bye, everybody.